All right. Hello and welcome back to season 6, episode 2 of the Layover Podcast, the exclusive after show companion podcast thing to The Amazing Race. Here we have Ben Doyle.
Hello.
And Scotty Allen.
Hello.
And Adam Chase.
Sam, are you doing it really awkward on purpose?
No, y'all just said hello. And what are we supposed to do with that?
Well, what are we supposed to do with our introduction?
I thought that was the shtick.
It's not a bit that we're awkward.
Entertain.
I thought it was funny that you said it was the companion to The Amazing Race.
It's yes and, Adam. You should take improv classes.
I have taken improv classes, Sam. And
I know.
One thing That's they teach point. You in improv classes is you should yes and, unless it would be funnier to bother your boss by breaking the whole thing. And that's what I chose to do. It's a very specific improv rule.
They do. They teach that in 301.
Seems like y'all independently chose that.
Yeah.
Except for Scotty. I'm not Scotty's boss.
You are
true.
Right
that's
now.
That's true. Scotty's our boss, actually, in a larger... I think of Scotty as being all of our boss.
Huh. That's an interesting take.
Like in an emotional sense?
I think sort of in like a... almost a parental sense. While we were in Japan, oh. I felt like he was sort of daddy.
Oh.
I did play tour guide the first couple days we were there.
He like knew about the country and he's like older than us. And he like was giving me life advice about like things he wished he had done when he was younger. I don't know.
It's true.
So new company policy. From now on, let's not refer to our guests as, quote, daddy.
Is that an official HR policy?
He was saying it in the most literal sense.
Yes, that is now an official Wendover Productions LLC HR policy.
All right.
And for the sake of equality, also no referring to guests as mommy or any gender neutral version of the, I don't know what the gender neutral version of that, but yes.
Can we say that Scotty has a paternal energy?
Paternal energy, yes. Although I feel like that could be ageist.
Oh, actually, you know what energy he actually has? And this is actually more appropriate.
I'm scared about
that. He has an avuncular energy. An avuncular energy.
Good word.
That is an uncle-like energy.
Oh. That is our word of the day.
I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's the word of the day here on the Jet Lag Podcast.
Avuncular. I will accept avuncular energy.
It's A-V-U-N-C-U-L-A-R.
That is correct, yes. Very good.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's what Google says.
Oh, well.
But anyways... So we start this episode the same way that we ended the last episode with Ben getting caught. Ben, would you like to relive your trauma?
Yeah, I'm really glad we included that twice. I just want to go on the record that it was Adam who decided to show that two times. I was personally ready to move past
it. I'm pretty sure it was a committee decision.
It was a decision by committee because it's only included in the voiceover.
Yeah.
It's just a clip in the voiceover.
Yeah, I was in favor of that too.
It was an embarrassing catch.
Yeah.
I could have hid better, but, you know, we're ready to move on. The audience is ready to move on, Sam.
Hey, I wasn't here last week. Did you guys explain what our really smart plan was if Ben hadn't blown it and gotten caught?
No, because Ben didn't remember
To your
it.
Credit, I mentioned that we had one and that you came up with it.
And that you totally knew it. That you totally would have known it if you were on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it now.
But it doesn't really matter what it was. What matters is that we're so smart.
Yeah, I believe you. But what really matters is we got to see the inaugural episode of Choo Choo Choo.
Yes.
We did.
Scotty, would you like to discuss how you came up with that name?
Yeah, so I had a feeling that since we were in Japan, there were going to be a lot more exciting snacks to try out than there were in New Zealand. And one of my favorite things about traveling is trying new food, particularly from like street vendors and convenience stores. So I decided that maybe Sam and I should have our own competing snack show with the Snack Zone. But I'm not good at naming stuff. So I went to ChatGPT and I asked ChatGPT to come up with a name that involved a pun for a train-themed snack review show. And it came up with like 8 or 9 really bad suggestions and also Choo Choo Choo, which I was blown away by and gave me a newfound appreciation for ChatGPT.
Now, Scotty, I do actually want to ask you a question here, which is, so I believe that I was the one who typed up the request for the intro sequence. And I remember when I was doing this, I realized I didn't have confidence about how Choo 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 was spelled, of which ones were CH.
I think we talked about it, but you got it exactly right.
I did. Okay.
You
okay.
did.
Great.
Yeah. So perfect. Well done.
I do love the premise of a snack review show in like the one place where you're not supposed to snack.
Yeah. Yeah, we did commit some faux pas there. And I feel a little bit bad about that.
We never spilled anything, not a that crumb, all of our trash taken away. There's a later shot in this episode of Ben just like housing a popsicle on the train. I was like, that's going to get some comments.
We had to.
We did have to.
Did we?
The situation was dire. And you know what? This is on fucking Tokyo because I would have thrown it out right away if I was able to. But there's nowhere. They're not allowed to be like, oh, you can't have things on the train, but also you can't throw them away. Like, that's not fair.
You know how bad the trash problem was? We finished filming over a month ago, right? We flew back over a month ago.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I found a fresh deposit of trash in my backpack, like shoved into an obscure corner that I had not yet emptied.
We were all squirreling it away.
Yeah.
In our pants pockets, in our backpack pockets, like... It was bad. At one point, I was carrying around like a shopping bag full of trash. I looked like a homeless person.
I spilled an entire iced coffee in my backpack at one point because I had no other option.
Yeah, it fucked up your cards for the whole rest of the game.
It fucked up my cards.
They were all hard and sticky.
And sticky, and they smelled like coffee. And it was because, I mean, there's like not that many trash cans in Tokyo to begin with, but apparently, like, we had clips of this, but we didn't include them. There were trash cans in some of the stations that were like closed for safety reasons because of the assassination. Yeah.
Well, I think we just speculated that.
I thought that that was the reason of Shinzo Abe. Or no. Because like there was like a trash bomb at one point. I don't know.
Well, that happened while we were there. I don't know if it was a trash bomb or, but there was like some big explosion in like Yokohama or something that people thought was an attempt to assassinate the current prime minister. I never heard follow-up on that, but moving on from that.
Well, in regards to Choo Choo Choo, I do want to mention, because this is probably kind of clear to close watchers, this was not the first instance that Choo 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 was done. You and Scotty recorded a Choo Choo Choo.
Oh.
Earlier.
I remember that.
It was cut from episode one because it did not work in the pacing. So at the point at which you and Scotty are heading after Ben... and Ben is running towards the flag. You did a choo-choo-choo. But pacing-wise, it was like a really intense moment where we were really pushing towards you arriving and coming after him. So it didn't make any sense pacing-wise to have you suddenly introduce a snack review show.
What was the food for that?
It was, I believe, dried squid.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I remember that being one of my favorites, weirdly.
Can we maybe bring that back on social media or something? Can that come back on Twitter?
I think we can. I think we can post it.
We should do that.
What's all going to come down to is how many people DM us on Twitter and annoy us and
demand it.
All that. That's how we actually make all of our decisions.
All of your content decisions?
Yeah.
What I'll do, Scotty, and this will be a fun way that you can cross-promote the show, I'll send you the clip, and if you want to post it, because it's sort of you hosting the show, you can feel free to.
We can put that on Strange Parts.
I'll put that together today.
Strange Parts COM on Twitter.
Could be big. Could
Strange Parts com, because Strange Parts was taken. Amazing.
So one interesting thing that we were starting to notice in this episode was how important these 30-minute windows are that we get after we tag someone. So that 30-minute jail period for Ben, that doesn't actually start when Ben gets tagged. It's when Ben gets back to Tokyo Station. So we get like a 30-minute head start pretty much regardless because almost all of the train lines head through Tokyo Station that we want to take anyways. So we're going to, I mean, as you saw, we took the same train just by chance. We wanted to go to the same place. So Scotty and I knew that we immediately had to go on an offensive run, especially considering that, unfortunately, Ben did not gift us that many coins. So we needed to quickly get to challenges so we could retain that head start. So, Scotty, we headed to Shinagawa, which was the same site as our failed sake pong thing.
Yeah.
But it was a good challenge spot. There was a lot there.
It was a good challenge spot, and it was one of the stations that we kind of knew because we'd been staying there in the preparation days. So I, at least, had walked through that station a handful of times. Mm-hmm. And so had a little bit of a lay of the land of what was around there.
And our card pull was... okay, certainly not as bad as our first one. Certainly not the one I would have chosen.
Yep.
And I think we could have played it better.
How so? We're talking about the three friends, right?
Yeah, the challenge was find three friends, and they had to be non-bugs, non-birds, non-human. So that basically meant, like, you know, out in the wild, the options were, like, dogs, squirrels, and...
cats.
A third thing. Yeah, wild cats. Or cats on leashes. Or yeah. Something. I don't know. So our original strategy was to go to these gardens that were right there, and I thought there would be, like, squirrels or something, but... we found nothing.
I think it is important to say here that we spent a lot of time in those gardens looking under bushes and in ponds. And there was a lot of time that got edited, quickly. Because I said at the end of the aquarium, I said, I feel like this challenge was undervalued. We spent at least an hour.
Yeah. Do you remember what its reward was?
$750.
Yeah, I think that was potentially undervalued. I don't think we spent a full hour, but certainly for the risk factor, I think it was undervalued. Yeah.
And it wasn't me complaining, to be clear. It was just like, I feel like we put a lot of work into that for the reward we got.
Well, I will say, for what it's worth, that the station that you got off at was a 5-minute walk from the aquarium. But instead of going straight there, what you chose to do was walk 10 minutes the opposite direction to look for squirrels in a park for a very long time.
I appreciate you fact-checking that, Adam.
Yeah.
I will say I edited this section, so I'll speak to... I did cut it down a lot. And the reason was that you guys... we're just grinding and getting nowhere. And it was
This is absolutely true. I was not surprised you cut it out. I just wanted credit from the hardest core fans that we really put in a lot of effort for nothing.
Yeah, I even cut out a whole section where you were looking in restaurants for a while, hoping they had a fish tank. You stopped in a grocery store hoping there would be live fish there.
Yeah. But that was all on the way.
All on the way, yeah. But
well, it literally was.
I had forgotten about the grocery store.
We did not deviate from our route. But that's all what I mean in terms of, like, I think we misplayed it. I think originally, I think we imagined the time it would take to find stuff in a garden would be quicker than, like, an aquarium where you had to, like, wait through a line, get tickets, go in, navigate, and all that. Of course, that's not what happened. But that was the original thinking. Obviously, like, seeing how close and how easy that aquarium was in the end, that was obviously the right thing. But that's the risk you play.
The grocery store was because in, like, Walmart in China, in the, like, seafood section, they'll have, like, live turtles. They'll have lobster, which we weren't super clear. Oh, I guess fish counted. So lobster would have been fine. And they would have live fish. And so we would have nailed three species, like, right off the bat. But that was not... the case in Japanese.
And that one was right in the station.
Did that line make it in? Did we keep that in? There's a part where you turn to the camera and you go, if we were in China, we could go to Walmart.
Yeah, it's in there.
You did, but I wanted to give a little bit more context there.
Totally.
For the super fans here.
That aquarium was crazy because it probably doesn't come through quite on edit, but, like, this is city center. This is, like, the densest area of, like, the biggest city in the world. And then you just come to this massive aquarium. Like, it wasn't some dinky little thing. This thing was massive. And it's like you enter through a shopping mall.
Oh, I feel like it comes through.
Well, yeah, I guess that part comes through. But yeah, it was, like, so unexpected. And it had, like, amusement park rides and everything. It was unbelievable, but it was also kind of frustrating because it was kind of like IKEA, where you were defined on a route and you could not deviate from that route. And we had to follow behind all of these tourists going very slow, of course. And then the most comical ending, the dolphin show let out just before we got to the dolphin show section. So it was like a horde of dolphin show people slowly meandering out as we were, like, trying to rush to go towards the flag. Not what we would have wanted.
No. I kind of enjoyed the absurdity of the situation, but Sam a little less so.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it was absurd. Yeah, it was crazy. So I guess the next thing that happens on our side worth mentioning, and hopefully this is clear enough in the edit, basically this was the first time that we messed up on a train. And I still cannot for the life of me figure out how we messed up, because as we were pulling away, I confirmed that it was on the platform that Google told us at the time that Google told us. So I have no idea what happened there. But yeah, we messed up, but kind of in a fine way.
Well, it was funny because this mistake in some ways led to your downfall ultimately, because this was the last straw that made me go back toward you. Because as you may remember, I had been absolutely chilling over by the flag for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I had been patient while you had gone after Ben because I was like, there's nothing I can really do for him. I'm just going to stay vigilant. You know, I was doing some recon and stuff, like doing research for him. And then it looked like you were headed back towards me. So I was doing my recon, getting ready, right? And then you turned around and went back on defense, it looked like. And I was like, all right, fuck this. Like, I'm going up. Like, I'm not sitting here anymore.
I mean, to be honest, like, this kind of just delayed the inevitable in my mind, because if we had continued to go offensive, we needed to do at least another challenge. And it was hard to imagine how we would have done a challenge with Ben chasing after us, unless we were very lucky with our pull. So it's like, with both of you on offensive, it would have been very chance-based to, I think, have successfully pulled that off at that point. So I do think that this mistake kind of in the moment actually maybe just delayed the catch. Well, maybe not in the end, but at least in this moment, it seemed like it delayed the catch.
Yeah, I mean, the double defense is pretty brutal because it's like you need at any given time like three escape routes to even have a chance of getting out of a two defender sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And I think we kind of learned this in this round because I had been really focused on guarding the area right around the flag, even though that had like multiple ways in. And then I realized like, oh no, like I should be further up, but at more of a choke point. Because I think like at the time we weren't really sure how effective choke points would be. So we were more focused on like, I just need to like guard the perimeter and try to get you on your way in or your way out, like whatever line you do, because we were worried about a big, busy station. Can you catch somebody at that?
Yeah.
And then obviously we learned that you in fact can.
Yeah, that it is in fact possible.
So yeah, we return to Tokyo Station. We quickly try to attempt a challenge. Nothing really interesting there because basically abort that challenge because Ben's on our tail.
Yeah.
Maybe one kind of production note here. By the time we get back to Tokyo Station, it is, I think, about 12 o'clock. It is about noon. So all of this happened in like 5 hours? Yeah, five hours.
I believe.
Yeah. It was exhausting. This was another exhausting one. We actually took a 30-minute production break at this point, as we sometimes do for lunch, because we were all in a spot where we were like not really timing dependent, mm-hmm. which was really nice just to like get some proper food, because we were going at such a pace where like there was not even really time to snack or anything except for choo choo choo, of course.
In fact, when I was drawing the picture, I was also trying to eat food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were eating onigiri,
which was part of why I was very reluctant to get up and run away from Ben, because I was halfway through an onigiri, a rice ball, and was very settled in there.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, did this get left in where you're like, I'm switching gears. I was in a real artistic groove.
That did not make it into the edit.
Or something. No, that didn't stay in. Oh, shoot. I probably cut that. It's probably my fault.
I was definitely settled in at that bus stop.
Yep. So I think we were starting to realize that like things were not looking awesome with Ben and Adam both on defense. We did not have a lot of clear paths. So of course, this is a little bit of retroactive, like, narrative making. But yeah, I honestly, even looking now, like, I don't really know what we would have done instead of the Shinkansen.
Yeah.
Beyond just another kind of higher risk run into enemy territory.
I mean, the obvious one would have been to not go together so that we had, like, other option. We could still continue to put the pressure on the flag even if one person got caught. But like, this was just one of those things of like, we didn't understand how easy it was to catch someone in a busy train station.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this last podcast, but I want to do it while Adam's here. I feel a little bit sandbagged by our test the previous day or the previous 2 days before, where Adam was like, I totally couldn't find any of you in Shinagawa Station. That informed a lot of my strategy.
I will say that it is true that I couldn't find you, but I think, and you will have to admit, what I also said on multiple occasions, especially the day before when we went on the Shinkansen for the first time, I was like, I think it might be a lot easier if you know what train somebody's on. And the whole thing is going to be,
you did say that.
Can I figure out that you're on this train? And I had even specifically noted that the Shinkansens in Shinagawa, I think.
We're on particular plot.
Where we had been.
Yes.
Well, we actually all did, for what it's worth, because we did a walk through Shinagawa together.
Yes.
And after that, we actually implemented what you see in round two. So the rule in round two, where Shinagawa Station and I think the other one was UNO, right?
UNO.
Yeah, where they're neutral zones. That rule we only implemented once we saw how easy it was going to be to catch on the Shinkansen.
Because basically our logic was like, if somebody's gone all the way out into the country to get a flag and they go all the way back, somebody could probably tag them just by going like a few miles in and camping at like UNO or Shinagawa, which felt unfair.
Yeah. But of course, on the other side, that's because in round two, we knew that people, as Adam is saying, are going to be on the Shinkansen because they're going further. Yeah. In a situation where you are mostly going through Tokyo, it is much more likely that someone could be on any train and anywhere in the station. And it is a big station. So it does require confidence in knowing that they're on the Shinkansen. Probably the one big tell is that, to my knowledge, the Shinkansen is the only train that does not stop between Tokyo Station and Shinagawa.
Yep.
All the other trains, even like the limited express, limited stop trains, would stop at least one station between the two. So there was a window of time that you could confidently know someone is on a Shinkansen based on the tracker. The problem is responding in time.
The other thing was that like all the Shinkansens leave from the same part of the station, and we were able to tell from where you were in the station that you were getting on a Shinkansen.
The trackers were way more accurate this season than they were in Europe.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we were actually able at times to tell specifically like, hey, Ben's on this platform or Ben's on the Shinkansen part of the station. Whereas in Europe, when we did tag, it was like, we can't even tell what block they're on, which is maybe because of like, I don't know, better cell service or GPS or I don't know, something in Japan.
Yeah, it's better cell-aided location services in Japan.
I do want to mention, because I do think this is important. So Sam, your big concern was that I would be able to figure out you were on the Shinkansen for that reason, that it wasn't going to stop. And there would be a window where I would see it didn't stop and be able to get you. But that is not what happened.
No.
Because the only reason that I was able to get you was that Ben was able to correctly figure out that you were in the Shinkansen area. And if I'm being honest, if I had not had that heads up, I would not have had time to get you. Like in the window where I would have realized you hadn't stopped, I don't think I would have had enough time. Maybe, but I don't think I would have been able to figure it out. Especially because, like, it's really hard to tell a lot of times, like, oh, did it stop? Did it not? Like, is it here? Like, especially early in the game. And that's why, and we chatted about this briefly after the round, but, like, I don't think, Scotty, that your plan was dumb. Like, I think it actually had a very high likelihood of working.
Interesting.
I think that, frankly, Ben and I got a little bit lucky in that Ben was able to successfully figure out you were on the Shinkansen and give me that inside info, and I was able to station myself. Because if I had not had that info, I wouldn't have gotten you.
Well, that makes me feel slightly better.
Well, also the fact that you saw them through the train, it definitely was not a stupid plan. Because also, like, I could totally have seen a situation where, like, if Adam, if you hadn't seen them through the train window, it's, like, a really long platform, and if you guys got down into the station, you could have gotten out.
That's the other thing. I don't think I would have gotten you if I had not seen you through the window.
Yeah.
I think that was maybe your biggest mistake, was standing very conspicuously in the window.
Yeah.
And the reason I saw you, I mean, first of all, I could see you, but also the big thing that screwed you was all of our filming iPhones have the same bright blue case.
Yeah.
And I saw that bright blue case right in the window sticking out. And I was like, that's them. And that's, it caught my eye. And that's how I knew. If you guys had been like ducked down and had not been filming that clearly out the train window, because you saw it was a super long platform with a billion people getting off, you would have absolutely had at least the 50-50 shot of I would have had to take a guess and either get on the train or get off.
I think the other thing is that you happened to be more or less at the end of the platform. We got off. We were on the train.
Yeah.
And so had we been at the opposite end of the train, we would have been in a much better space.
Well, I don't know how intentional this was on your side, Adam, but what I realized, the mistake that we made is, so we were using the JR passes, you know, the Japan Rail passes. And with those, you can actually make a seat reservation. It's just complicated. So considering there are always seats pretty much open in the non-reserved cars, the cars are just open seating, yeah. We would always go to the non-reserved cars. But of course, Adam probably knows that in this situation. So he goes to, you know, usually said cars 1 through 5, non-reserved, somewhere on the platform. And that's exactly where we were. So in retrospect, we should have probably been on the other side of the train or something.
Yeah.
In the reserve section or some less intuitive spot.
And just hanging out in the entryway or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyways, so Adam catches us, runs up to us on the platform like an absolute maniac. gets told off by the guard.
I was going to say a crack-addled squirrel.
I think that's inaccurate.
Well, it's funny because this was Scotty's introduction to jet lag Adam in person.
It was. And oh man, was it an introduction.
You had also just been like sitting around for the entire game so far and like finally you get action. And so I think you were just like very excited.
Well, frankly, I couldn't believe it had worked. Like, mm-hmm. I could not believe that I had actually managed. And I think, Scotty, again, like, you know, just sort of defending you here, like, it felt impossible that I would actually manage to get you. And I don't know if we're able to fully convey the scale of this, because we had been in Shinagawa. That station is enormous. And it has, like, a dozen different lines that go through it. I mean, the number of tracks in that station has got to be over 100 tracks.
It was probably almost as big as Tokyo Station, which was not the biggest station in Tokyo.
Wait, what's the biggest station in Tokyo?
I think Shinjuku.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Shinjuku is massive, I will
Shinjuku
say.
Shinjuku is bananas.
Shinjuku is at least the busiest, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the busiest, certainly.
Yeah. Okay.
Shinagawa has like 25 different tracks, it looks like.
Yeah, I like just couldn't believe that I had done it. I was so excited.
I was pretty surprised. Like, I was fully bought into there is no way he's going to catch us. And when we stepped off the train, I still thought we had a pretty good chance of evading you. That was perhaps hubris.
I do think we had a better chance than it probably seems. But on the other hand, there were only one Shinkansen platform.
Right.
So with that knowledge.
There's two. There's actually multiple. Well, I will say, again, just for what it's worth, there are multiple Shinkansen platforms. There's a whole other area if you were going the other way.
Well, no, it was just the other side of the same platform.
No, there are two platforms, even if you're going the same way. There are at least two.
I don't think
because there
Shinagawa.
Are different entrances to the different sides. There's two different platforms going that way. Because I remember that was a thing of I was trying to figure out which of the platforms I should be on.
Yeah, I think Adam's right about that.
Oh, yeah, actually, I do see another one in here, yeah. Okay, so yeah, two Shinkansen platforms.
And I tried to convey this in the edit, but like, that was the other thing. Like, even when I was in the Shinkansen area, there were four tracks that trains were coming in on the whole time. And I was trying to figure out which one you were on and like, it wasn't super easy. Like mm-hmm. a train was coming in and I was like, wait, could that be them? And I like almost went over there and I had to really watch the tracker closely.
But anyways, so Adam catches us like a, what was the term, Scott?
Crack-addled squirrel.
Like a crack-addled squirrel. Here's the thing, Adam, I don't know if you realize this, but the guard like yelled at you and then like continued to be annoyed at us just by association as you ran off. So we got like the brunt of course, it was a Japanese guard, so it was very respectful, but we got like the dirty glances, like the, you know, kind of stuff.
Well, that was when we implemented sort of a soft no running in the train stations policy.
Yeah. Clear they're not a big fan of that. But yeah, so we return to Tokyo Station and y'all go for the flag. And honestly, I don't know if there's really that much more to say. It's all pretty straightforward from there. Right?
I mean, there were a lot of challenges that we kind of turned into a montage, but those were all pretty straightforward. Our hair was so greasy for the rest of the day.
Oh, my God. I remember I said to Ben, I said, don't take your hat off when we see them later today because I don't want them to know that we did challenges.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't think I knew you did that challenge until I watched it on the final edit.
I did not either. I was surprised when I saw it in the edit because I was like, how did I miss the fact that they... Because we actually all returned to Tokyo this night and the next round started the day after because we were late enough in the day. So we actually got like dinner together and somehow, I don't know if you had showered or not before then, but didn't notice.
No, I said, do not
take your hat off. I don't want, because here was the thing, because this was the big thing. I'm curious to see if this is controversial. And I had to cut down, I mean, like 12 minutes of discussion to about like 2 minutes of you guys deciding not to go after us. But you were right that you could not have caught us and it would have been a waste of your time. But what I didn't know if you had realized was that the way the timing worked out, once we realized that you weren't right on our tails, we didn't stress that much about making the very fastest train out of there. And so we had to wait around for like, what, like 15, 20 minutes. And we got super lucky with our cards and managed to get a ton of coins, which I didn't know if you knew we had coins going into the next round, and I did not want you to know.
So we absolutely identified that possibility. So there was a point in our challenge farming or whatever, where we were deciding, okay, do we go after them at this point, knowing that we can't catch up, just to force them to keep moving and prevent them from doing the same thing in terms of earning challenges or not? But what we realized was that the effective value of us doing challenges at a given time was the same as you doing challenges at a given time. So like on average, if we're both just farming challenges, we will earn the same amount as you do. So if we're both doing it at the same time, we don't lose value. So we can wait to see if you're doing that and then go after you and on paper not lose anything. And from our perspective, we actually didn't think that you did farm challenges because you did it so quickly. Yeah. I was surprised going into the next round. I kept thinking like, wow, they have a lot more budget than I thought they did. And I think that did inform some of our decision-making later. But yeah, so we never thought you did. We thought you just maybe didn't realize or something. And
I would like to point out Sam's use of the phrase expected value, which must mean that he is watching Stephen Bridges series, who's a Nebula friend.
I do watch Stephen Bridges. Great show. Actually, highly recommend Stephen Bridges, Beat the Odds. Genuinely think that any jet lag fan would love it because it's like a travel show with like a mission and it's very different and he's trying to evade people. But in this case, he's trying to evade the very real security guards of casinos across America and everything. Highly recommend that show.
He's a magician who learns to be a card counter and then goes and tries to win at casinos.
Ooh, that sounds
cool. It's very fun.
I actually am now realizing, Scotty, did you only learn that we farmed challenges when you watched the early cut of the episode?
I think so, yeah. But I do think we had discussed the strategy that maybe you would be doing that. And it was that we had a head start on you. Like, we had a head start in that we weren't having to spend coins to travel. And we'd had time while you were traveling to be doing challenges. And so it might just end up that we both had a crap ton of coins.
I actually will point out, and I'm sorry to get all annoying about it, but you know, this is the podcast where we go in the weeds here, Sam. I actually have to disagree with you that it is still advantageous for us to do challenges at the same time and earn coins. Because I would argue that the true value going into the next round is not the absolute difference between our coin values, but in fact, the relative difference between the coin values. So like, it is highly advantageous for you to have, say, 2,000 coins while we have zero, or for you to have 3,000 when we have 500. But it's not really advantageous to you at all if you have 8,000 and we have 6,000, even though it's still a difference of 2,000, right? Because that would have been enough for both teams to do whatever they wanted in the next round, so your advantage would be lost.
Yeah, there are definitely diminishing returns.
Sure, but I don't think we were ever at risk of getting to that sort of difference.
Well, they could have just stopped.
We could have, though. I mean, we could have just chickened you out. We could have just done challenges as long as we wanted and seen if you came after us. And we actually discussed it.
That's when we would have gone after you to force you to keep going. But the point is, like, there was no incentive for us to spend the 60 or so minutes to get to your flag earlier than when we learn whether or not you're doing it, because we're going to lose that 60 minutes regardless.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, yeah. It doesn't matter when you do it.
So that's why we elected to keep doing it and wait and see. But anyways, round two.
Round two.
Let's talk about round two. A lot of new rules.
We got towers now.
We got more country now.
A lot more country.
We have multiple flags.
I will say towers are a very interesting mechanic that I think people are going to love. But we came quite close to not even including them in the game at the last minute, because we were kind of thinking like, no one's ever gonna buy these. And I mean, you'll see what happens with them. But like, I think they end up being much more influential over the way that teams develop strategy going forward than we thought they would be.
I think for the majority of the game development, towers were going to be defensive only.
Yeah. Right. That was a last minute change.
Yeah. So you can only put them on your defensive zone. But towards the end of game development, we got increasingly concerned about basically defense being too strong. And so among a couple other reasons, we decided to make towers playable wherever. That was like a truly like one of our last major changes.
One of the very, very last decisions that we made. I think we decided that after round one. I think that the decision that we had made was we're going to see how round one goes.
Yes.
And see if defense is as powerful as we expect, and then we'll make the decision on if towers are defense only or not. And I think it was after round one, the decision was made, no, we're going to say towers are available offense and defense.
Yeah, I think we were looking for like further evidence.
It was our leading theory at the time, but the decision, the official decision hadn't been made.
Yeah. But yeah, so Scotty, what's potentially interesting is I think our opening strategy to round two was largely informed by the fact that I think we thought we had a stronger coin balance advantage than I think we actually did.
Yes, for sure.
Because we thought that y'all would be really slowed down by having to do challenges and everything, whereas we could just beeline it to the flag with our balance, especially together. Because we had the budget to get all the way there and back if we traveled out together.
Yeah.
So we felt really confident based on our coin totals in a way that we, in retrospect, probably shouldn't have.
Yeah. I think we were also really convinced that traveling together was a really strong advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that weighed heavily in both round one and round two strategy.
Yeah, I mean, we designed the game to incentivize traveling together. We wanted a game that was like flexible, like it was your decision whether to travel together or independently, but that there was strong incentive to travel together because at the end of the day, that's better footage.
Yeah.
You know, it's more interesting for content for people to be traveling together and interacting and all that.
And it simplifies the storylines is the other big thing.
Well, I was going to bring that up is that you guys were very worried about having four storylines in the edit and trying to figure out how to do that. And I'm very curious now that you're into the edit, I'm very curious when you did have four storylines, how that worked out.
There are times in the future that all four of us are separate and it is a bit of a headache. What I will say, though, is that what usually develops is that there's like still an A plot and a B plot.
Yeah.
And I think it throws off the chronology a little bit because it's like, well, we're going to focus on these people now and just not worry about these other people at this time in the game. And then we'll come back to them. But it was certainly a challenge for us because this season by far was the most complicated to edit. Now, when I think about shows like The Amazing Race or Survivor or any of these shows that have like 20, 30 people on them, I'm like, oh my God, how do they do it?
Yeah. Way more cameras too. Like they don't have just one camera per person or one camera per team.
Yeah. I will say that one thing that I think for what it's worth, like that makes The Amazing Race be able to do something like that is that everyone is ultimately doing the same stuff.
True.
They're doing it at different times, but like the show is able to teach you like, you do this challenge, then this one. And then you can just show people doing them in the order and you understand what's happening. Whereas I think, and I remember we had a lot of discussions about this, about if four storylines was going to be chaos. I was making the point that I was like, well, The Amazing Race has 20 people. And what you guys said, which I think you were right to make this point, was, yeah, but in jet lag, everybody's doing different stuff. And like has a different objective, their own individual complex strategy that they're trying to execute on. And so I do think, it is good that a decent amount of the time we're limited to two or three storylines instead of everybody being on their own.
I think the only time that our assembly cut of an episode has been late so far this season was when it had four different storylines.
Yeah.
Because that one was, can't say which one it was, I guess, but that one was, I mean, I wasn't even the one actually doing the nitty gritty of it, but it was a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Bit of a tough
one.
But they come together.
Oh, I think they're great episodes, to be clear.
I think they're really good, but they were challenging. They were a challenge.
Yep. So first of all, trains, right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I would have to agree.
They went fast.
Yes. Trains go fast.
These trains.
These trains go fast.
Oh, yeah. nobody has anything to expand upon that point.
Yeah, I mean, I will expand on it. I thought you were headed somewhere, but no. I'm glad to expand. I thought maybe you were going towards that point.
No, my point is, damn, those trains went fast.
I will say that even in my mind, having known how fast the trains were, how quickly you guys got to Sendai was like crazy to me. Like real time in the game.
We cooked it.
Especially because did you get on the Super Express that only stopped like three times?
I think our outbound train, it seemed like in the mornings there were like very limited stop trains, but only as like the first trains of the day or something. So we were up there and like, Scotty, do you remember? It was like 90 minutes or something.
Yeah, I was going to say an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, this is as the crow flies, Sendai almost 200 miles away. As the crow flies, not even on the train route. So like 200 miles or like 350 kilometers. Like what was notable for me was that we got out in Sendai and it was like notably colder because, you know, this was so much further north in the country. So like it was weird to be able to like so quickly have entered like almost a different climate. And it was also just like we were researching the whole time, so it felt even shorter than 90 minutes. So it was remarkable.
We had very little downtime on the trains.
Oh, yeah.
We were busy. Very few times the entire season where we were like sitting around and just chilling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I liked the trains. Yeah. That's my take.
I love the trains, let me tell you.
Yeah. I will say it's hard to feel how fast they are when you're on them. I mean, it does feel very fast, but when you're on the platform and one passes through the station without stopping,
it's crazy.
It almost clears the entire platform. I would say it was like, phew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have train sound effects?
That's a really good sound effect, Sam. We should implement that into the show, I think.
Do you have any competing sound effect?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Here. I think all of us, let's each do one. All right. Sound effect for when the Shinkansen goes straight past the station that you're at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it as it comes from far away. So it's going to be a little bit longer.
That was good.
Was that good? I wonder how it sounds because a little behind the scenes, my pop filter's messed up. So I've got a big sock on my microphone and I wonder how that affected the sound.
Scotty.
All right.
I didn't get any of that.
I don't know if I heard any of it either. I just saw the
movements. Scotty, one more time. One more time.
I think the listeners will hear it through the microphone.
Oh, wow.
You have the spaces in between the cars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
I think Zoom is like filtering that out or something. I don't hear anything when you do it.
Because they probably think a train is going
I'm
by.
I'm making a real sound on this.
They think a train's going by. They're filtering it out. Yeah. It's so realistic.
It's so realistic.
Ben.
Okay, are you ready? Here's a Shinkansen going to the platform. Choo-choo. It was just like that.
It got further away.
I'm almost mad at myself because your little face right before you did your sound, I knew 100% that you were going to do that. And I wish that I had like written it down in an envelope so I could have like opened it and been like, Ben is going to just say choo-choo.
It was a good one.
So Ben and Adam, we never really actually debriefed much on this. What was like the reasoning behind the strategy that y'all did to open up episode two? And what would have been like maybe the other options? What else were you considering?
Mm. Well, because we were pretty uncertain. We were not like locked in immediately about what we should
do. Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth, I think, before the round. I will say the fact that we had coins affected our decision immensely, obviously. Like, I think that if we hadn't, we might have tried like a double defense strategy or something. But I think the logic was basically that, like, we did want someone on defense, but we knew, given the rule that, like, we weren't allowed to follow you out the platform on a train.
Have we discussed this, by the way?
We have.
Has this been mentioned in the show?
Have we? I think it's mentioned, or at least we've mentioned it on the podcast. But there's a rule that if you're going to defend and someone's leaving a neutral zone like Tokyo Station, you can't intentionally get on the same train that they're on, because then it makes it effectively not a neutral zone. What that means is if you guys are getting on the fastest train all the way to the furthest flag, you're going to get to the flag without us being able to tag you pretty much no matter what.
Yes.
So our logic was, if we're going to defend against you, there's a window at which defending against you doesn't make sense at all. Like, we're going to have to wait for you to be on the rebound regardless. And so we're going to send at least one of us to defend, which was me. But we were like, with that time that you guys are going all the way out there, might as well grab the near flag before I get set up.
Well, I'll also say, I mean, and this is important to remember, we didn't know what you were going to do.
Right.
So we had considered like, okay, well, if one of them immediately goes on defense, what are we going to do? Right. And I think that the consensus had just been like, try to avoid them. But like, we thought that you were probably going to do the same thing we were doing. And we were actually a little bit surprised to see that you had both left. But we were obviously a bit excited about that because we realized that it meant that Ben could get the near flag home free. Right. And so we were like, that's a free flag for us. Like, and I do think that the idea that like we could essentially get a flag for no cost because Ben is going to be able to go up and defend you on the rebound anyway was very attractive to us and was ultimately what made us go for it. But we were pretty worried about if you did the same thing we did, we were like, it's going to be a crazy speed run for the two people going for the near flags because one of them will get back earlier than the other one will and try to go defend and stop whoever was slightly slower. Yep. And I remember that was something we were really worried about.
The thing that informed our strategy that maybe isn't as clear in the episode is the fact that our second flag, our further flag, was closer than y'all's flag.
Much closer.
Yep.
Yeah. So we thought that it was fine to cede that Tokyo flag.
But I do think it is worth really emphasizing our far flag was much harder to get to than your far flag.
Yes.
Even though they're around the same distance from Tokyo, you guys were able to take a Shinkansen, basically a straight shot there.
And then get on the next Shinkansen leaving there.
Yeah.
Like we were only there for 15 minutes.
Right. Whereas our flag involved multiple transfers to get to it. So it took, I mean, the ETA of getting to our flag was about 3 hours, which is about double your ETA to your flag.
Mm-hmm. At least with that first train we took. I think normally it was more like two and a bit, but yeah, we were really lucky that first train. I think the critical piece that we did not realize until leaving Tokyo was basically what you see at the right of the end of the episode, that choke point that Ben had.
Yep.
That choke point at Omiya, I believe.
No, Oyama.
Oyama? I always
no, I'm screwing with you. Because that was the debate on the train, because there was an Oyama on the same line, not that far away.
Yeah.
And so you and I got very tangled up.
Here's what was frustrating, Scotty. So our outbound train, I believe, did not stop at Omiya.
Oh.
And it was like the one train on that line because it was that super limited express.
Yeah.
It was like the one train in the day that did not stop at that choke point.
Yep, on the way out.
And then every other train in the day, all of them stopped at Omiya, that choke point that Ben ended up setting himself up at.
Well, this is a perfect little podcast anecdote. Mm. Ben and I also got very confused by Oyama and Omiya. And Ben actually originally went to Oyama.
No. I didn't make it all the way to Oyama. When I was routing myself to Omiya, I accidentally put in Oyama, and then I was on the train to Oyama. We didn't put it in the edit, even though it was funny, just because, like, ultimately it didn't stop me from getting to Omiya. It was the same direction regardless, but we had also gotten confused by the two stations.
That's amazing.
So I remember that. I actually forget if it's in the final edit because there have been so many versions. But like at least in one of the versions of the edit, there was like a thick of like, why is Ben on this train? This makes no sense. And because it was... you were taking the non-direct route to Omiya. And I was like, why is he doing that?
That's why you were confused. And actually, there are two different Oyama stations.
What?
Yeah, there are two.
And originally, Ben was... So I remember it was a big thing. Ben was like headed to Oyama Station. And then I realized, oh God, he's headed to the wrong Oyama Station. And then we realized actually both the Oyama stations are wrong. He needs to go to Omiya Station.
Yeah.
I'm sad that didn't make it in.
You know, I got to the right place eventually, but it was so confusing. Well, it was mostly because like on our side, the footage was not that clear. Like it wasn't worth putting in, but it was fun.
It wasn't clear yet. Well, because the thing was, yeah, like what Ben said is true, which is that it didn't affect anything because it was ultimately the train he got on went to Omiya in the end. So it didn't change anything. And it wasn't like there was no clear way to convey it, but it is a funny thing that happened.
That's hilarious.
Well, that's probably a pretty good place to leave it for this week.
I have one more small thing.
Oh.
which is you didn't include us tasting the flag.
I can't find that footage, man. I can't find it anywhere.
I remember seeing that footage.
I'll see if we can add it in because I looked for it. I could not find it.
That was in the first draft. It does exist. We ended up cutting it for time.
Oh, you edited that section.
Yeah, but I mean, you can deliver your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to dig that up for social media or something. But it turned out to be soy sauce, and it was fish flavored soy sauce, which was not what I was expecting when I took a sip. But it turned out to be lovely. It was delightful, which I think everybody tried some. And I think at the time, the decision was that it was not really a drink, but that it was tasty.
Oh, it's definitely not a drink. No. Oh, sorry. To be clear, I knew that it wasn't a drink from the beginning. I was aware that your flag was soy sauce. I actually didn't know that you didn't know that.
We did not know that.
We had no idea.
I think it just had the brand name on it, on the information we had.
It was labeled as dashi.
Yeah, but I don't know what dashi is.
Dashi is a fish broth. Dashi isn't a brand. Dashi is like the name of...
Like a fish sauce?
Yeah, dashi is a sauce. It's a type of sauce. It's like soy sauce.
Think to like Google it or anything.
Sauce expert.
I had assumed it was like a soup. Why would you want a whole bottle of fish sauce from a vending machine? Why would it need... like? That was the thing that confused me is like, it was sort of in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, we're getting this fish sauce really convenient.
It was in front of a parking lot.
Are you sure that the footage, the first cut did not include them trying it. It included them talking about what was in it, but not them sipping from it.
And that's still it.
Maybe I took it out before I even sent the draft. I had it in the edit originally, and then I was like, the timing felt weird.
I definitely remember seeing it somewhere.
I would like to include it if we can.
We could put it back in probably if we wanted to. I think it was in the version that we sent Sam. And then Sam wanted that section to be faster, and that was the edit that we made, was to cut down on the tasting of the flag. I believe that that's what happened.
My fault?
Well, no, it's not your fault. It's still a decision we
made. I don't remember ever seeing you sip the actual flag. I want to see that footage, and I potentially would like to put it in.
They do it on the train.
This feels really important to figure out as the climax of the podcast episode. Yeah. Right?
Well, it's kind of interesting because maybe we edit the episode and it's in the whole time now that you've seen it.
Fine. Podcast cliffhanger. Does it make it in?
You'll find out.
Well, and it's not a cliffhanger because they've already watched the episode.
Well, maybe it's the rare podcast listener that listens to the podcast before the episode.
That's a bad idea.
They get all their spoilers in before they watch.
So to you, go watch the episode and find out whether we did a last minute edit change. And then to everyone else, come back next week. Because as it's probably clear, we are setting ourselves up for quite the what? I don't want to spoil anything.
The showdown.
Quite the thing.
Quite the showdown.
Quite the showdown. It's an exciting one. Anyways, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Layover Podcast. We'll be back next week. Scotty, do you have a word of the day for us? Adam already gave his.
A word of the day?
Yep.
Did you do this last episode? Is this a thing?
No, you already gave your word of the day.
Oh.
Yours was the uncle one.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say expected value.
Okay, that's two.
It is two.
We'll forgive. Ben?
Choo-choo. It's the sound that trains me.
Okay, that's also two.
Well, it's really only one repeated.
True. Okay, well, we're not doing great here, gentlemen, but...
Well, it depends on how do you spell chew and chew.
Okay, we'll leave that question for next time. I feel like we need some more yes and along here. but anyways, we'll see you next time on... Episode 3 of whatever this thing is. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, everyone.